Chapter 23, Guideposts Along the Path of Life. No matter which way we turn today, we are engulfed by the influence of the all-pervading mass media pounding in upon our minds. Especially with the advent of television, the white people of America are artificially flooded with an avalanche of suggestions and advice. Add to this the tremendous amount of indoctrination and brain pollution our young people receive during kindergarten, elementary school, high school, and university. It is no wonder that, confounded and bedeviled as the present generation is, it knows neither the purpose nor the meaning of their whole lives, nor do they even know their own identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they are going. They don't know what to do. And they don't know what their life's purpose really is. Lacking purpose and direction, they are easily led by the nose into some harebrained cause which serves neither them nor their own people. The trouble with all the education and advice that the younger generation of today is getting is that it is mostly all bad, and it is meant to be bad. Their brains are purposely being polluted by the Jewish network, which has complete control of education as well as the propaganda apparatus. Despite all the filthy, bedraggled, long-haired hippies we see on the roads, in the parks, and all over the country today, most of these young people are inherently good and would like to have some meaning in their life. They are more to be pitied than censored, and are really victims rather than culprits. They are a lost generation because they have been robbed of their most meaningful purpose in life, which nature has in store for each generation. What this young generation is looking for today, as they always have, is a meaning in life, something they can dedicate themselves to with the enthusiasm and the zeal that is such a wonderful thing in young people. They desperately need goals, they need direction, and they need worthwhile ideals. Without these, a person is like a ship at sea, without a rudder and without a captain, aimlessly flapping its sails in the wind, and subject to running aground on the first shoal that it encounters. I would have given anything if, when I was a youngster, my father could have given me some of the advice that I have come by over a lifetime, and only through the school of hard experience. How wonderful it would have been to have had from my earliest youth a sound basic philosophy that could have sustained and given me direction throughout my lifetime. Unfortunately, it was not until well after my 50th birthday that I had finally been able to realize the meaning and purpose of life. Unfortunately, most people can live to be 90 and go to their grave without ever having solved this important riddle. How much more fortunate and how much more valuable it would have been to me if during my college years I would have had a thorough education on the detrimental Jewish influence on our civilization. and its disastrous effect on the white race. Instead of receiving the usual run of liberal college education that I did, along with thousands of others, how much more meaningful it would have been to my life if, during my early boyhood years, instead of going to Sunday school and learning a rehash of all the old Jewish shibboleths, I would have been told about racial loyalty and where my duty lay. I therefore feel myself obligated to address first and foremost the young people in the teenage group who are just starting out in life and are in their most impressionable years, in a period when their direction is most easily influenced, either for the good or for the bad. First of all, I would like to address myself to those young boys who are just entering high school and have the whole wide world before them, a world they can easily conquer, or a world that will cruelly crush them. One of the first things I would suggest to you is that you take stock of your abilities. Find out what your IQ is and try to analyze yourself as to where your best abilities lay. Start seriously thinking about what you want to be in life. Whether or not this is what you finally do become is beside the point. Whether at present you make it your goal to become a professional baseball player or later turn out to be a businessman instead, that is perfectly all right. The fact is that my own goals and objectives as a teenager ran through many stages. I remember that when I was 12, I wanted to be a professional baseball player like Babe Ruth. When I was 14, I wanted to be a cowboy and have a ranch. When I was 16, I wanted to be a boxer. When I was 18, I wanted to be a movie star, a school teacher, a lawyer, and finally, an engineer. I did become a school teacher and an electrical engineer. In fact, I even invented an electric can opener and received several patents on it. But it so turned out that my lifelong calling was in the real estate business. Now, I don't suggest that you change your goals and objectives as much as I have, but the point I am making is that it is of utmost importance that you have a goal or goals before you, goals that you set, that you want to conquer, and that you want to strive for at all times. Not only must you have goals, but they must be good, worthwhile goals, rather than some far-off idiocy like saving a few whooping cranes that might be left, or jumping on the bandwagon of some phony Jewish mania of the moment. In order for your goal to be worthwhile, it should be something that you feel you would like to do, and something that you feel would be useful in your earning a good living for yourself and supporting a family that you undoubtedly will have later. You should also think in terms of what you can do to make some meaningful and lasting contribution to your own people, namely the white race. Something that will be of lasting benefit and an eternal credit to you personally. Remember that nature put you on this earth so that you will be a link, an important link in the perpetuation of your own species, your own race, namely the white race. I would further suggest that you enjoy yourself while you're young, as in fact you should do throughout your whole life, regardless of all the Jewish suggestions that are thrown your way regarding some of the baser amusements I would suggest that you will find your greatest enjoyment in the exploration of nature, in hiking the mountains and fording streams, in fishing and in boating, and in camping in the forests. I would also suggest that you engage vigorously in the field of sports and become as proficient as you can in several of them, whether it be swimming or tennis or whatever you might be interested in. If you are interested and proficient in several at the same time, all the better. It is some of the finest training you can receive. It is always good to remember that a sound mind can usually only exist in a sound body, and that it is as important to keep your body clean and strong and healthy as it is to keep your mind exercised in intellectual learning. It is also important to learn to box and to fight and to defend yourself in a hostile and torn world through which you will undoubtedly have to fight your way. It is a good idea to become proficient in the use of firearms and guns and become an excellent shot. You may someday have to defend your home and your street from a band of marauding niggers, rioting and on the rampage. You might have to resist by force of arms a Jewish takeover, as happened in Russia. Learn to appreciate good music and to distinguish good music that has stood the test of ages from the rash of trash that is dished up to you through the Jewish radio networks, records, and television ad nauseam. Learn to hate the niggerized bang-bang of jungle noise that is now becoming so common, noise that is completely devoid of melody, harmony, and devoid of beauty. Be vocal and outspoken about making your preferences and dislikes known. As in all things, learn to distinguish the good from the trash. Learn to distinguish good art from bad, good literature from trash, and pornography that is becoming so common these days. Not only is it good to become discriminating in music, in art, and in literature, but above all, be discriminating in your choice of friends. Associate only with those that will be an inspiration to you towards higher goals and greater achievements. Don't waste your time with those that would drag you down to their low level. The Jewish Bible has told us for so many centuries that we should be meek and humble. I say that this is completely wrong and completely contrary to nature. Anyone who achieves anything in life must have pride of accomplishment. Pride and confidence in oneself is one of the first prerequisites in winning distinction and in becoming a success. Therefore, first of all, take pride in yourself, in what you are, in what you think you can become, and in what you think you can do. Take pride in your dress and in your grooming. Be neat and clean and tastefully dressed, no matter what you happen to be dressed for. Take pride in your speech, in keeping it clear and cultivated and articulate. Take pride in your family. Be proud of your achievements without being arrogant, and develop the desire to excel and desire to win. Take pride in your hometown. Above all, take pride in your race. Be proud to be a member of the great white race, which you have the great good fortune to be a part of, and will bear the responsibility of perpetuating in the future. In your studies, and in the decisions you make, in the activities that you choose. Learn to distinguish between what is important and what is trivial. Waste no time with the trivial. Give a great deal of time and attention to that which is important. It is amazing how many people have never learned this one important fact in their lifetime. The ability to distinguish the important from the trivial and act thereon more than any other one thing is the outstanding characteristic of a successful man. Next, my dear young friend, I would advise you to dream big dreams. You have your whole lifetime ahead of you, and at this stage, your abilities and potentials are completely unknown, untapped, and untested. Remember, nature created you as a member of the great, proud white race. You are endowed with the highest intelligence, finest reasoning powers that nature in her wisdom has seen fit to give to any of its millions of creatures. Use the intelligence that nature gave you. Use those reasoning powers, and above all, use your common sense, which is really not at all so common. Not only has nature bestowed upon you as a member of the white race, the finest intelligence, but nature has also made you the most creative and the most productive creature on the face of the earth. I say, therefore, put all that creativity, intelligence, and productivity to work for yourself, for the family that you will undoubtedly later found, and for the benefit of the great white race that produced you. Dare to dream big dreams. Dare to be great. At your age, your potentialities are untapped and unknown. Who knows what a great niche history might have waiting for you in its future pages? Remember that besides ability, the main ingredients of greatness are purpose and perseverance. Above all, have confidence in yourself. If you don't, nobody else will. With these thoughts in mind, there is no limit to the great things you can accomplish, and you undoubtedly will. Advice to boys of college age. If you are approximately around the age of 20, you are at a crossroads where you will have to make many decisions which will irrevocably shape the pattern for the rest of your life. One of the first things that a boy just having finished high school has to decide upon is whether or not he is going to go to college and get a college education. And if so, what profession or avocation should he pursue? Also, by now, he has found out about girls and is probably deeply involved in a love affair. The thought of marriage has undoubtedly crossed his mind by now, or at least it should have. Let's take these items one by one. First of all, let's talk about college educations. I personally not only went to college and earned two college degrees, one in arts and science, and the other a Bachelor of Science in Engineering, but I also obtained a teacher's certificate and taught school for 2 years. So I have some background in the educational field. Looking back on this 30 years later, it is my considered opinion that I wasted much of my time in the so-called halls of learning. Much of the so-called knowledge that was dished out to me was trivial, and much of it was useless. Throughout his college years, the young student has inculcated and impregnated into his impressionable mind many ideas that are not only wrong, but are outright harmful and dangerous to himself, to his country, and to his race. These ideas, of course, are deliberately foisted upon him by the Jewish network in order that they may more easily destroy and enslave the white race. It is not my purpose here to make a list of all the wrong premises and harmful ideas that were being disseminated in the colleges of my day, and from what I can visibly see, it is much, much worse today. In fact, to make a full catalogue of all the bad information and the poisonous idiocies with which our young people's minds are being polluted in the colleges today would take the bigger part of this book. This book is in large part all about undoing the damage that the Jews have done, not only in the colleges, but also in all the other fields of activity in which they have perverted the minds of the white race. I would therefore say that college education per se has been highly overrated. In fact, our colleges are turning out a flood of overeducated fools who are too good to do an honest day's work and not capable of fulfilling the jobs for which they mistakenly think the world will be begging them when they graduate. Most of such jobs neither exist, nor is there any need for them. If a young man would have taken the same $15,000 to $30,000 investment that he spends or his parents spend on a college education and used those same 4, 5, or 6 years to get started in a meaningful business, in most cases, everybody would have been far better off. If, therefore, you are not particularly a brilliant student, I wouldn't worry about it at all. College is not for everybody, by any means. In fact, the Jews have dragged our colleges down into the muck and the mire to where they now have become centers for brain pollution rather than education. I would say that a great many more good kids are ruined in our present-day colleges than get a positive benefit from them. This, too, the white man must correct when he again assumes control of his own destiny. If you are an outstanding student and you want to pursue some profession, like becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or an engineer, then it is imperative that you go to college and obtain the required degrees. This in spite of the fact that you are subjecting yourself to a tremendous peril in having your mind polluted by an avalanche of false premises. However, if you have thoroughly studied this book and further studied the Jewish problem and keep reviewing that knowledge at all times, you could not only become pretty well immune to Jewish propaganda, but you might even be able to help rescue some of your fellow classmates. In no case, however, should you forget that propaganda is a subtle and powerful tool, and that if you will spend 4 or 6 years in the Jew-polluted halls of learning, it will require a strong character and a firm purpose not to become contaminated with their filth. Unfortunately, those people who light-heartedly dismiss the thought that they may be vulnerable are usually the easiest victims. In any case, if you have read this book, you will be much, much better fortified than the average young man who ventures into this Jewish jungle of mind manipulation. Therefore, I say that, if you do go to college, go only because you have to have those degrees in order to pursue that profession about which you have already made up your mind. If you haven't made up your mind as to what you want to become at this stage, I would suggest that you do not go to college. There are many tremendously successful businessmen that never did go to college. Some of our most outstanding multimillionaires, like Henry Ford and H.L. Hunt, etc., never set foot in a college during their younger days. Even Thomas Edison, one of our greatest inventors, never went to college. If you have no profession in mind, and book learning does not particularly appeal to you anyway, I would suggest that you forget about college, at least for the time being, and try to think of different lines of endeavor that you might be interested in. Think of the different types of businesses that there are, and pick out some particular one, or ones which you think you might become interested in being a part of. Think of being in business for yourself someday, of owning your own business enterprise. If you really have something on the ball, have drive and ambition, there is no reason in the world why you can't have a large and flourishing business of your own before long. The question is, how do you get into business? Undoubtedly, you can't just plunge into a business without money and without experience. No, of course you can't. Therefore, the way to start is to start at the bottom. Get a job, no matter how lowly it is, in the business you have zeroed in upon. While you are working at this, you will be doing several constructive things. You will be gaining experience. You will be earning a living for yourself. And you will also be testing yourself as to whether you have the ability and inclination for that particular type of business. It is remarkable how many young boys started out as a busboy or a floor sweeper for a corporation and ended up being its president. But even if you never take over the particular business in which you learn the ropes, so as to speak, after you have acquired the basic experience and you have the determination, you can always leave that business and start a similar business of your own in a small way, building as you go along. For instance, the founder of many a large contracting and building business usually started out as a carpenter working for somebody else. Many an owner of a large and successful restaurant started out as a cook or a dishwasher as a kid working for somebody else. The owner of many a large real estate enterprise often started out as a green salesman working for somebody else. The owner of many a car dealership started out working as a car salesman for somebody else. They say there are something like 32,000 different kinds of jobs and businesses that a person can engage in. Whether this figure is correct or not, I do not know. But I suspect that there are probably many more, actually. In any case, with today's tremendous expansion of specialization, there are more opportunities for ingenuity and resourcefulness than there ever were before. It is not at all true that the day of the self-made man is over. I say that the opportunity was never better. There are many satisfactions as well as a lot of responsibilities in owning your own business. It is true you may work as hard or harder than if you worked for somebody else, but at least you know you are working for yourself. and I've always said that if you are worth a certain amount to somebody else, you are worth twice as much to yourself. I have also worked for a large corporation. In fact, immediately after I graduated from electrical engineering, I went to work for a large corporation in Montreal, a corporation that had somewhere around 10,000 employees scattered throughout the country. I was employed as an electronic engineer. It is my recollection and my experience that working for a large corporation is one of the worst things you could do. It has a tendency to stifle a man's imagination and ambition, not to mention his sense of independence. In a following chapter, I am going to dwell more thoroughly on the advantages of being self-employed. Suffice it to say that the advantages are many, and the idea of security with a big corporation, which is the big lure for many a young executive-minded graduate from college, is a snare and a myth. I would suggest that besides trying to become established in a business of your own, you start acquiring real estate, property, and land as soon as you possibly can. More people have made money in land and real estate than they have in oil or any other business. As I mentioned previously, if you are around the age of 20, you will undoubtedly be thinking of getting married, or at least you should be. If you have found the right girl, I would say, don't waste too much time in getting married and getting established. Nature says that you are ready to start reproducing your own kind when you are 15 or 16 years old. The way our society is set up at this time, this does not seem too practical. But I would say that it is a travesty against nature to prolong and delay this important stage in life for 10 years after nature said that you were mature and ready. If you are 20 and you are so inclined, I would say go ahead and get married, whether you are financially capable at that time or not. It is amazing how responsible and capable a young man soon becomes when he gets married and is faced with the responsibilities of establishing his own household. Undoubtedly, one of the most important steps in life that you will ever take, if not the most important step, is getting married. A good marriage is one of the most gratifying and one of the most meaningful actions that you will ever take in your life. You are thereby fulfilling the meaning and purpose of life for which nature created you in the first place, namely that of perpetuating your own species and becoming a link in that long golden chain. It makes you the patriarch of a long line of descendants of thousands of real people who would never have lived at all if it hadn't been for you founding the line. Think of it. Long after any material thing you may have done is completely obliterated, the line of human beings that you are responsible for will keep multiplying and marching on into history. Raising a family of handsome, bright, lovable, and enthusiastic children is the most rewarding and enjoyable responsibility you will ever undertake in your life. The children you will raise will undoubtedly be the most significant and meaningful accomplishment of your whole life. In fact, when your lifespan has run its course and you come to reflect on the long and varied path of your years on this earth, you will find the children which are now multiplying into grandchildren are not only your overwhelming and abiding interest, but the only real permanent thing that you will leave behind you when you depart from this world. The ramifications of your having founded a family and raising a number of children, who in turn will do likewise in their generation, is tremendous and unending. The offspring that will echo into the future untold generations is practically beyond comprehension. I therefore repeat, the most significant, meaningful, and lasting thing that you will ever do is when you get married and start raising a family. And may I say that in doing your part in promoting and propagating the white race, have a good-sized family. Have as many as you can. In planning for your family and in planning for your business, think ahead. Set up goals. Think of where you want to be 5 years from now. Think of where you want to be and what you want to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Having a concrete plan of action, the more detailed the better. Set it down on paper. This will help to reinforce it in your mind, and it will also be there to jog your memory, to keep you on the track. Discuss these plans with your wife if you are married. Determine to have the finer things in life for yourself and your family. Decide that you will have a nice home, live in a good neighborhood, and that you will lead the good life. Then go to work and accomplish it. While you are doing so, enjoy yourself. Take vacations regularly. Plan to have hobbies and interests outside of your business. The white race is going to have a tremendous fight on its hands in your generation to win back their own independence and wrest control of their destiny back into their own hands. Plan to participate in that great fight and do your part. One of the most important lessons you will ever learn in your life is not what the regular colleges would give you, but to learn the true nature of the Jewish conspiracy and what you can do about freeing the white race from this overwhelming tragedy. It will be the most useful accumulation of knowledge that you will acquire in any field. Not only will it help you in participating in the white man's struggle, but it will help you in your business, it will help you in your family relations, and it will help you in the upbringing of your children. Learn to become a good public speaker. In fact, this is something you should have already started learning and participating in when you were in high school. The benefits of being able to express yourself and to speak well in public are so beneficial from every aspect that no young man who wants to get ahead can afford to ignore this important part of his education. Remember, in your business activities and contacts, to boycott the Jew at all times, to favor your white racial comrades, be discriminating and be loyal to your own race. Despite the fact that the Jew at present seems triumphant and the future may seem black, never become pessimistic. Things can change quickly, and they can sometimes quickly change for the better. Witness how quickly the situation changed in Germany. When the Germans were completely downtrodden and completely demoralized, a great leader came along and rallied the German people. They did overcome the Jew, and they did gain control of their own destiny in short order. In no time at all, where there had been poverty, hunger, discouragement, and tyranny, the country was suddenly changed into that of vibrant optimism, prosperity, order, productivity, and creativity. All this was achieved through will, determination, and a positive program. Therefore, I suggest that you keep a buoyant, enthusiastic, and aggressive attitude towards your work, your projects, and your enterprises at all times. Be optimistic as well as realistic, and after careful preparation and planning, expect success. Be success-minded. The old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again, well applies here also. Don't get suckered into the useless and debilitating habit of smoking or drinking, and of course, avoid like the plague the suicidal drug kick that the Jew is promoting so widely at this time. These drugs, whether they be tobacco, alcohol, or the mind-destroying drugs, are all Jew-promoted. They are being promoted to destroy the white race, and at the same time make these scoundrels millions in profits. If, unfortunately, you are already well into one of these habits, make up your mind to get out of it. Period. I personally started smoking regularly when I was 26 years old, for no good reason that I can now remember. However, by the time I was 40, I came to the conclusion that it was a filthy, useless habit, one that really wasn't giving me any satisfaction, and one that I could well do without. I therefore decided one day to quit without any ifs or buts. Having made up my mind, I extinguished the last cigarette and have never touched another since. So it can be done. It just takes a firm resolve. And once this has been achieved, it is not really very difficult. In any case, young man, you have now reached the stage where the twig has long been bent, and some of the things that you now do are beginning to shape the permanent tree. I would suggest that you give full play to those great qualities with which the white man has been blessed, namely, creativity, daring, productivity, aggressiveness, and a freewheeling spirit of adventure. At all times, uphold your self-respect and your honor. Be a credit to the great white race of which you are a part. Acting within the framework of those instincts with which nature endowed you, you will lead the fullest and most rewarding life possible. We now come to the fair sex, that most beautiful of all creatures in nature's realm. In suggesting advice to young girls of high school and college age, I would say much that has already been given to the boys also applies to these young ladies, but there are several important differences, and it is these differences that I want to point out. Such habits as neatness of dress, good grooming, and in general, presenting an attractive appearance is, of course, even more important to girls than to boys. After all, whereas it is desirable for boys to be masculine, capable, and handsome, girls, on the other hand, are the beautiful sex. In fact, from a white man's point of view, the most beautiful creature in nature's universe. The caliber of man she will attract will therefore depend much on her natural beauty and also what she further does to enhance that natural beauty. This, of course, she can do by keeping fit and trim in good physical condition, keeping a good complexion by following a wholesome diet and other means. Not too many boys are attracted by a fat, slovenly-looking girl. One of the worst habits teenagers have developed these days is that of bad eating habits. Many bad complexions are directly a result of this. As far as being fat and overweight is concerned, there is really no good excuse for anyone to get into that shape. Whereas there are a few people who cannot gain weight, everybody can lose weight by just cutting down their eating to the point where they reach the desired weight. Even fasting for a week at a time, if necessary, will not hurt anybody. In fact, it may do a lot of good. Many of the items, such as strength of character, not smoking, avoiding alcohol and drugs, apply equally to you girls, and there is no need for me to repeat all these details. Your own good common sense will tell you what to do, and the important thing is to use your common sense. This also applies in using care and discrimination in selecting your friends, whether they be boys or whether they be girls. The main point of departure, however, from the advice that I have suggested to the boys is when it comes to the matter of choosing a career. In the present Judaized times, when the younger generation is so adrift, without ideas or goals, it seems that one of the false goals that are thrust at you is that every girl should seek a career. In stampeding every girl into higher education, going to college, spending years and years in doing that which is completely unnatural, namely cramming and stuffing volumes of useless information into their heads, you are not deriving benefits. But you are being harmed. The most rewarding, fulfilling, and natural thing you can do is to become a mother and rear a family. Again, nature says that when you are 15 or 16, you are ready. Again, unfortunately, because of our present economic and social structure, this may be a bit early for practical reasons. When a girl is 16, 17, or 18 years old, her love interest is at its peak, and it is an abomination against nature for her to spend the next 5 or 6 years going to college, stuffing, for the most part, information into her mind that she will never again use and will, by and large, soon forget. I am convinced that the present artificial obsession with college is part of the Jewish program to delay the marriage of young white couples and thereby again cut down on the propagation of our race. By the means of all this flood of propaganda from movies, TV, magazines, etc., a young girl is given the impression that unless she has a career of her own, she is a failure. She gets the impression that it is better to have a career than a marriage, or that she can quite easily have both a career and a marriage. Both of these premises are patently false. If we look at some of these career women that have had even unusually successful careers, we find, by and large, that they lead rather strained, unnatural, and unhappy lives. Many of them, as they become a little older, become increasingly aggressive and independent, and with their sexual drives either suppressed or perverted, soon become totally unfit as a marriage partner. If they are married and also have a career, the stress and strain of battling in a man's world makes them rather poor wives, and not only that, but poor mothers if they have any children. Usually such women have few, if any, children. Any way you look at it, a career for a woman has a damaging effect on her family life. It is bad for her. It is bad for her husband, and it is bad for her children, if she has any. Unfortunately, at present, under the Jewish domination of our white society, due to high taxes and many other types of Jewish robbery, many wives have to work to make ends meet. But when the white race is once again master of its own destiny, and throws the Jews and niggers off its back, it will not be necessary for any white wife to have to go to work. She will be able to enjoy the natural role for which nature created her, being a wife, a mother, and a homemaker. It is the man's duty and obligation to provide for the family, and it is a woman's privilege to take care of the home and raise her family. It is therefore my considered suggestion to girls in this age group to keep the paramount goal in mind, that she will become a wife and a mother, that this is where her great good fortune lies, and not in a career. A girl will therefore do well to cultivate those studies and those pursuits that will help her in her future role as such, rather than pursuing higher mathematics, physics, and chemistry, along the lines that would make her more attractive as a wife and a future mother would be the study of music, the study of cooking, the study of good literature, the study of home decoration, developing a good taste in the lines of furniture, clothes, art, and entertaining. Of major importance in enhancing your desirability as a marriage partner is also the development of the social graces, such as learning to sing, learning to become a good dancer, and most important of all, having a cultivated manner of speech and being a good conversationalist. One of the finest assets either a boy or girl can have is being able to speak well and interestingly. Most of the things I have been talking about are not learned at college and do not require a college education as a prerequisite. Many girls go to college with the idea that they are thereby going to have a better opportunity of catching a husband because they will be in the company of boys who are college students. They believe that they will thereby be able to select a better type of husband. This may or may not be true. If that is your purpose in going to college, however, be sure that you are honest with yourself, that you admit this is your purpose. Then go about the job with that objective in mind. Keep in mind also, however, that if you go to college, that the sane and sensible outlook on life that you enter the college with may be seriously impaired. So also may your morals and your sense of direction be thoroughly confused by the profusion of Jewish propaganda that you are going to be engulfed with. It is a calculated risk you have to take, and usually going to college for this purpose is a poor risk. In general, I would like to add this for both boys and girls. Remember the prime purpose for which nature placed you upon this earth, to propagate your own kind, your own species, to multiply and expand the white race, to fight for that race in the face of a hostile world, come what may. To do this means to get married, to raise a family, and for the husband to earn a good substantial living. The more substantial, the better. And here I would like to point out another little piece of advice that is being trampled in today's rush of false meanings, and that is the much bantered slogan of today's youth, namely, that money isn't everything. Of course, money isn't everything, but the implication seems to be that it is nothing, and this is not so. No matter how you slice it, the kind of income that the head of the house can bring home to his family is in large part the determining factor of many important things. It will determine the kind of neighborhood you live in, the type of house you have, the kind of clothes you wear, and the quality of the food that you eat. It will decide the amount of time you can take off for traveling the world, the amount of time off you can take for amusements, for having fun, and for recreation. So don't be fooled by this liberal line so many of these college kids are passing along, to the effect that money isn't everything, decrying crass commercialism and a lot of other similar nonsense. Most of these empty-headed fools come from an environment where they never had to do a lick of work. Were they thrown out on their own and had to provide for themselves, they would find that the realities of life would soon shatter such nonsensical ideas in no uncertain terms. In summary, I suggest that you be proud of your great good fortune to have been born a member of nature's elite, her crowning glory, the great white race. You have been endowed by nature with many outstanding talents. After making a thorough assessment of your abilities, waste no time making the most of them. Plan ahead, set goals, be confident, aggressive, creative, and constructive. Assert yourself. If you are sure of your ground, let yourself be heard from. Dare to be great. Be idealistic, yet realistic and practical at the same time. Remember that as a young person, you have one precious asset that we older people cannot buy at any price. Time. Make the most of it. Above all, be proud of those wonderful white ancestors that produced you and made it possible for you to live at this exciting time in the history of our race. Vow that you will not only carry on your great white heritage, but that you will do your part in helping to raise it to ever greater heights of excellence.